Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Deborah Cobray.
Amen. Well, have a seat on your way down. I'm going to put my glasses on. I think they're 2.5 right now. They were 1. Now they're 2.5. For those of you that don't wear readers, I think I bought these at Thrifty's. The number just keeps growing. But tonight, Pastor Dan, who is my son-in-law, and that beautiful blonde that was up here was my Jess, Pastor Jess, and Luke is our son, and my daughter Miranda and her husband Henny Bosman are pastoring the Rock of Temecula. So our children, we begged them not to go into ministry. We said, don't be pastors. You don't want to do that. We want you to be doctors, lawyers, whatever, entrepreneurs, whatever you want to be, but don't go into ministry, and they all went into ministry. That tells me that God has a plan and a call on our lives and our children and our children's children. And there's not a greater privilege in the world, like I said, than to be pastors. So we're honored to be here. But tonight, the topic tonight that I'm going to be looking at with you for the next few moments that we're here tonight is the word unstoppable. We sang that last song by my request, Unstoppable God. And I want to look tonight at a topic. But before I go to the topic, I want to use the word unstoppable, because Jesus Christ is the ruling and the reigning monarch of all eternity, and we are his disciples. We are his people. He is unstoppable. No word of God is without power. It will accomplish that which he has sent it to do. Isaiah 55 tells us that. God said, as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways high above your ways, and my thoughts far above your thoughts. As the rains come down and water the earth and do not return, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall accomplish that which I purpose. In other words, God's word has the power to bring itself to pass. God's word has the power to bring itself to pass. Hebrews tells us that by faith we know that the worlds, the things that are visible, were framed and formed by the word of God, by the things that are invisible. So we live in this natural, corporeal, three-dimensional world of time, substance, and space, but God lives in eternity in a realm that we cannot see, touch, taste, hear, or feel. Would you say that's true? So God says the just shall live by faith. He's given us the measure of faith, and he's commanded us and told us that you're going to walk through this planet, you're going to live your earth experience, and you're going to do it by faith. So tonight, the topic is not unstoppable. The title is unstoppable because our God is unstoppable, and if he's unstoppable, you're going to see that we're unstoppable. But the topic I want to look at tonight is adversity and trouble. Because we live in a world that has fallen and that is in trouble. We live in a crazy world. Like I said, you know how old I am. I don't know how old you are, but I've been around the block a couple of times. I know what the neighborhood looks like. And I'm seeing things in my day that I know my great-grandmother and my grandmother, who I both knew, would be rolling over in their graves not believing. I remember when I Loved Lucy had twin beds. Do you remember that? Life has changed, and it's going to change even faster. Exponentially, it's going to increase, and knowledge will increase on the face of the earth before the Lord returns. So you and I are living in a world of trouble and a world that is filled with problems, social injustice, things aren't fair. So what do we do when you and I are confronted with trouble? Now, the word that I want to speak tonight is that God's unstoppable and so are you. But let's go, before we get too further into this, let's go to the topic. So I want you to remember, unstoppable, but let's look at what Jesus said about trouble. You with me? John chapter 16, verse 33. In John chapter 16, and for those of you that are online tonight, we welcome you. I think my husband is watching. He said he was going to watch the Dodger game and he was going to go back and forth. Yeah, how about that one? As he watched me probably rip my notes apart, he's probably shaking his head. But isn't it wonderful that you finally get old enough where you don't have to impress anybody and you don't really care? So can we just have a chat tonight and be comfortable? Let's learn some things from the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, in verse 33, Jesus is warning his disciples because he's about to go to the cross. And he says, indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father's with me. Verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So in his last moments with his disciples, he's describing to them that they're going to find trouble and tribulation. Now, you don't speak Greek, and I don't either, but the Greek word here is interesting, and I know a man, his name is Rick Rayner. He has an amazing church in Moscow. He's a linguist, and he's written an incredible study book for those of you that want to go into word meanings, because words are containers of images. So let me tell you what the Greek word is. The Greek word is thlipsis, and it describes a situation so difficult. Now, we're looking at the word tribulation. So the word tribulation in the Greek is thlipsis. It describes a situation that is so difficult that it causes one to feel stressed, squeezed, pressured, or crushed. It can be translated as distress, affliction, or trouble, always indicating a level of intensity that is almost unbearable in the natural. So this word, tribulation, wasn't just a casual word that he was speaking. He knew what was going to happen, and he knew how demonic things were going to get, and how difficult it was going to be, and how scattered his people would become. And he said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. There is going to be adversity in your lives. Church of the Living God, I don't know where we ever got the idea that when we became Christians, life is going to be wonderful. Life is wonderful in the Lord. And when we're translated out of the kingdom of darkness and we're brought into the kingdom of God, the miraculous begins to happen and we begin to walk like we've never walked before and experience the supernatural realm of the kingdom of heaven, because it's not in the hereafter, it is now, it's within us, it's all around us. But there's going to be tribulation, pressure, adversity that's going to come against you simply because you said yes to Jesus Christ. You are now an enemy of darkness, and the kingdom of darkness will do everything it can to destroy, to steal, to kill, to rob, to do everything it can to rob the anointing, rob the destiny, rob the faith, and rob God's blessing and favor right out of our lives. Because Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have trouble, and it's going to be tough. Jim and I were just having coffee, because we have coffee every morning. And he said, we were talking about adversity. And you know, as you get older, people don't really tell you too much about it. Have you ever been with older people and all they talk about are their aches and pains? We all have heard that, right? Okay, so all of us old folks, it's all right. It's because as you get older, you get aches and pains. Because actually, the telomeres on your cells, you know, that's the life of your cell, how long it's going to reproduce, because you reproduce every 7 years. Your cell structure, it builds itself right back up again. Cells die, they get washed away, and your new cells come in. As you age, cells have an aging tail on them. And when that tail is done, when your time's up, when that shelf life is over for that cell, it doesn't reproduce. So you're actually dying. Your body is diminishing, and that's why you age, and that's why you turn into your mother and your father. Listen, aging's not for cowards. But God did all this because everything says something. And so when you and I have trouble, whether we're young or whether we're old. When you're young, everything's new, vision's in front of you, life is in front of you. What are you going to do with your life? Who are you going to marry? How are you going to raise a family? How are you going to get a job? What's your career? There's so many things, and trouble's going to come every which way. And you and I, whether we're young or whether we're old, are going to have to learn how to deal with trouble. Because God knew exactly what he was saying. Trouble isn't bad. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So here's the point. Unstoppable. My unstoppable God says, yeah, you're going to have trouble in this world. But guess what? I've put you in this world, and you're living in this world right now, but you're not of this world. And there's a power force around you and in you that if you'll begin to tap into it, that when trouble comes, you're going to realize it's not a setback, it's a setup. And I've got trouble in your life. I know it's come, but I'm going to use it to change you, to rearrange you, to cause character to be etched on the inside of you. And trouble actually brings something that good times will never bring, and that's character making. And courage and strength, and you grow. Jim and I were talking, like I said, before I got off on my rabbit trail about aging and telomeres. We were talking about adversity and how our parents went through depression and World War II and how tough they were. My dad and my mom were tough. My dad was tough as nails. And my grandpas, oh, forget it. They didn't even want to have anything to do with me. I mean, they just drank a beer and went in their trailer whenever I came around because I was this hyper little blonde kid in the 50s. They were hard, tough people because they went through some hard, tough times. What makes us think we're not going to? When this country was founded, 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. Out of those 56 men, there were probably only two or three that came through that Revolutionary War unscathed and alive with their fortunes intact. Because when they signed that Declaration of Independence, they said, we pledge our fortunes, our lives, and our family and our loyalty to this document. And they were killed, they were murdered, they were bankrupt, they were imprisoned, they lost children, they lost wives, they lost everything. This country didn't come without adversity. There is blood on the flag of the United States of America. There's blood on that flag, the Civil War, when we fought that Civil War to free the slaves. 650,000 people were killed, more than all the people from all the wars, from the Revolutionary War till now today. More people died in the Civil War than all of our wars put together. Google it and fact check me. There's blood. It cost something. It was tough. People lived in very difficult times. So I'm here to tell you that as a people living in the 21st century, you and I are going to have trouble. But here's the good news. I've got an unstoppable God that says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. He's about to go to the cross. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows they're going to be scattered. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So my point number one, when trouble hits, if we're going to be unstoppable, cheer up. Cheer up, folks. Why? Let me read you why. Jesus tells us to be of good cheer. These two words are from the single Greek word tharasso, again, Rick Weiner, which literally means to be courageous. He said, cheer up. He's saying, take courage, take heart, toughen up. Tough times are coming, but guess what? I'm about to snatch the keys of death and hell. I'm about to eradicate death. I'm about to go to hell and rise from the dead. I'm about to take every sin that's ever been committed. I'm about to be the spotless lamb. For this reason I was born. For this reason I came into the world. Take courage. You're going to have trouble, but listen, cheer up. Take courage. Take heart, because I have overcome the world. What does that mean? It means fear not, but a better rendering would be take heart. It's a word that would be spoken to strengthen someone when facing some kind of hardship or difficult ordeal. Jesus was literally saying, in this world you will go through some distressing times, but take heart and be courageous. I have overcome the world. The word overcome is the Greek word Nikos, N-I-K-O-S. Anybody pregnant? That's a great name for somebody, Nikos, which is the Greek word for victory, Nikos. The grammar implies not just a single victory in the past, but a continuous, abiding, unstoppable victory. Overcome, the Greek word Nikos. I have overcome. I am continually overcoming. I have overcome the world. I am still overcoming the world, and I will always be an overcoming king in this world and in this universe, because he is the king and he's overcome yesterday, today, and forever. No matter what comes our way, what's coming down the pike, what's going to happen in this generation, we don't have to be afraid and we don't have to be in fear. We can take courage and take heart, and we can actually cheer up. Now that's absolutely crazy. Troubles in your face, troubles at your door, troubles in your life. And God says, cheer up. And you're saying, what's there to be cheerful about? You don't know the mess I am. Yes, he knows the mess you're in. Do you know how strong your king is? Do you know how great God is? And this trouble is only for a season. Ellen, Jim's mom, was 96 years old when she passed. She was first generation American. Her mother came from Yugoslavia. Her father came from Austria. They didn't speak English. They had 9 children in El Segundo at the turn of the century. He broke his back on Christmas Day and he died, leaving her with 9 children and no welfare system in 1920. She raised 9 children without a husband. And so Grandma Ziblik had a saying, and Ellen would always say it to us, life is good if you don't weaken. Life is good if you don't weaken. Generation that I'm speaking to, life is good if you don't weaken. God's telling us to tough up. Get tough. Kick some butt. Come on, I'm an Army sergeant right now, and I'm saying let's stand up and let's get a little tough, because the trouble that's coming our way, the stuff we don't like, what's unfair, what's not right, guess what? That's always going to be on this planet. But you and I don't live in that unfairness. We live in the kingdom of God, where God puts a level playing field. He gives us favor, he gives us grace, he gives us ability, and what was impossible with man becomes possible with God. And our God is unstoppable. So, with adversity, remember, there's going to be trouble, but point number one, cheer up, take heart, take courage. Why? Because he's overcome the world, he is still overcoming the world, and he will always overcome the world in every single situation that you will ever face. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. Paul's talking about this, and he knows a little bit about what he's talking about. He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. I wonder how many of us would want to be in ministry if we had to have that kind of a ministry. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I've never been beaten, nor have I ever been thrown in prison. I've had people lie about me. Jim and I have had a lot of things happen to us in the ministry, but we have never been beaten. We've never been stoned. We have never been shipwrecked, thank God. We've had a sailboat. We've been in the ocean. I've thought about that many times. And the first rule of sailing when you get on a sailboat or on a boat is your instructor, your captain says, this is your universe, because if this sinks, you're dead. You can't live in that water. Don't ever go on a missions trip with Paul, because every ship he was on sunk. 3 times, a day and a night he spent in the ocean, hanging on to God knows what, treading water. He says, a night and a day I've been in the deep. This man went through a lot of trouble. And yet Paul was able to say, this is a light and a momentary affliction. He knew something that I don't know. So let's go on. Paul saw victory where others saw defeat. He entered into a special fellowship of suffering with Jesus Christ. Guys, sometimes I think I've become soft. I've become lazy and soft and spoiled in my life because I'm not persecuted. There's never enough money. But money's not the answer anyway. But to be believers in the first century church, what do you think it was like? It was dangerous. And here we are in America, and God has given us so much. And I was reading this story from a guy that had been in prison for years in China, and he said about prayer. He said, I had to pray when I was thrown into solitary. I had a cell, and that cell gave me a place of prayer. He said, in America, you have to build your own prisons and your own cells so you can pray. See, we face different temptations. But God says it's time to toughen up. You're going to have trouble, but cheer up. Why? Because I've overcome the world. Number two, unstoppable God. When adversity comes, he says, believe. So the first one was cheer up. Second one's believe. The just shall live by faith. What do we believe? Well, believe you're loved. Believe you're not alone. Believe he's with you. In this little book called Touching the Invisible, Norman Grubbs speaks about the greatest lie that the church has borne. And Norman Grubbs was a missionary, and he had an evangelical association in England during World War II. His association and his ministry grew in the midst of a world war because they had tapped into some secrets about faith. So it's a great book. If you want to read a little book, it's a little booklet. You want to read a good book on faith, read Norman Grubbs, Touching the Invisible. It'll change your life. And this is what Norman taught me through this little book. He said, the greatest lie that Satan has told the church is that we are separated from God. He's up there and we're down here. We pray. We know we're saved. We believe God loves us to a point, right? And we know that God says he will do these things for us, but he's in heaven and we're on the earth. And so I have a slide. If you could show that slide. First one. No, not that one. That's the second one. There we go. The first one. See this little blue man? That's us, the church. We look into, if that circle is the kingdom of God, that's Jesus in the middle, in case you didn't know that. I searched for a silhouette. This is my little graphics. That's the kingdom, and that's Jesus. And we are on the outside looking in. Oh, we pray, we believe to the best of our ability, and we hope that he hears us, and we do the best we can. Would anybody bear witness to that? Yeah, it's where the church is. There's no shame in this. Let's just grow up. You see, that's a lie. Jesus said that he's the deceiver, that there's no truth in him, that he's the father of lies. He's incapable of telling the truth. Wherein, here's the truth. I'm talking about, what do you do in adversity? How do you become unstoppable? Number two, first was cheer up. Why? Because he's overcome the world. Number two, believe. Believe what? Believe that you are not separated from Jesus Christ, because now can I have the next slide? Next slide. There we go. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now wait. 1 John 4:19 says, in this the love of God was made manifest or displayed, where we are concerned. We're talking about believing that we're not separated, believing that we're not alone, believing that we are loved. Okay, this is what it says. In this, the love of God was made manifest. That word, this is amplified, means displayed. It was shown. Well, we were concerned in that God sent his son, the only begotten or unique son, into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. So here's love. Here it is. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, which is a big Christian New Testament word, propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sin. What does that mean? It means I'm not on the outside looking in, even though my flesh and the natural world and my carnal life, when I am not focused in on what and who he is in me, which can happen every day, because I can't have an undisciplined mind, but when my mind just decides to do what it wants to do, and I just go along with the day, which all of you can do the same thing right now, some of your minds are just wandering about tomorrow. You're not even concentrating on what I'm trying to say, because our minds can go places. Your mind is a landing field for demonic thoughts. God can speak into our minds, and Satan can speak into our minds. That's why Satan comes immediately to steal the word in the parable of the heart and the soil. He can plant thoughts into your mind, just like God can plant thoughts into our mind. And God says, here is the love of God displayed. He was the propitiation. That word propitiation, atoning sacrifice, means that because he came, all God and all man, he came as a man. He was born into a human family. He was born with a flesh body. He did not have a sin nature, but he was all God and he was all man. He had to be like us. He had to be a part of us. He had to have our blood so that he could qualify to be the kinsman redeemer, the one that could buy us back, the one that could go to that cross, the one that was qualified to lay his life down as the atoning sacrifice, because propitiation means the appeasement of God's wrath. So the propitiation was the animal sacrifice where God's wrath went on that animal, and that animal took the place of our sin in the Old Testament. And now God said, I'm tired of the blood of bulls and goats, because my people can only come so close to me because sin separates us. Now I'm going to send myself, my only begotten son. I'm going to come and I'm going to identify with the human race, and I'm going to be the last Adam. He walked through the human experience. He experienced every temptation, every test, every trial that you and I will ever live on this planet without sin. He passed the test. He qualified to be the lamb. And when he was at that cross and he took on the sin of the world, he became the propitiation. He was the appeasement for the wrath of God. So now, when you and I look on that cross, and you and I look to the Savior, no longer is there wrath, no longer is there anger, no longer is there the stain and the shame of sin. Now God sees righteousness and holiness and sanctification and oneness, and he's redeemed us, he's reconciled us, and he's restoring us into all things that God's called us into. Why? Because herein is the love of God, that he sent his only son, that he loved us, not that we loved him. Guys, if you don't feel loved, if you don't sense the love of God, it's beyond a feeling. Paul said that you would know the love of God that surpasses understanding, that you would know the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of this love, that you would be filled with the very fullness of Almighty God. You see, God has fused himself with us. His son is still a man before the throne of God, seated at the right hand of the Father. The last Adam, he's all God, but he still has a resurrected body with nail scars in his hand and a scar in his side. What does this mean? It means he's so identified with me that he came and displayed to me, this is how much I love you. You didn't do anything to earn it. You didn't do anything to work for it. You can't do one thing to make me love you more. I love you because you are my child. And I am unwilling to have you die and be separated for all eternity. So since you can't come to me, I'm going to lay my life down for you. And in that laying down, I'm going to appease the law of sin and death that says you sin, you die, because Satan's an accuser. And God will not violate his word. So God fulfilled his word. It was the biggest coup d'etat there ever was. If the princes of this world had known that they were crucifying the Lord of glory, they would not have done it. But the wisdom of God is wiser than the wisest, most foolish, decadent demon. And God said, you're not separated from me. Can I have that back up, please? That slide? You're in me. You're in me. I'm not on the outside looking in. I'm in him. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, the penny hasn't dropped. In our everyday lives, when trouble comes, when you don't know how you're going to get through, when you don't know how you're going to heal that broken heart, when you don't know how the trouble's going to go, you don't know where the money's coming from, you don't know how you're going to get a better job, you don't know how you're going to feed your kids, you don't know how or what you're going to do, you don't know how you're going to get through this, you don't know what the doctor's report has said, you've got a death sentence, you don't know how you're going to live and you've got kids and you don't want to leave them. Real trouble. You're not on the outside looking in and hoping. You are on the inside looking out. You know what that's called, church? It's called God consciousness. You see, when you and I begin to live no longer in self-consciousness, self-consciousness is the man looking into the kingdom. Because when you and I fell, when we were born into this fallen world, when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and God said, you eat from that tree, you're going to die. They didn't die right away, physically, but they died instantly, spiritually. And their eyes were open and they knew they were naked. Whatever they were wearing, the covering of righteousness was gone. They no longer got their right and their wrong from God. Now they were on their own. Satan said, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. What he didn't tell them was, you won't be God. You'll be as gods, as the fallen demons. You'll know what's right and wrong based on your own mentality, your own ability to discern, and your own intellect. You no longer have the lifeline and the wisdom and the favor and the anointing and the power that Adam and Eve walked in that garden. Are you with me? Yes. Jesus Christ came back to restore it all back to us. All of it back. That's why first he had to redeem us. He had to buy us back because there was a price. And he paid it, his life. Then he had to reconcile us back to the Father. That's why he said, come unto me. No man can come to the Father except by me. It's through him. He's the door. He came through legally in the human race. He was born a man of a virgin. The seed of the woman shall bring forth a deliverer. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? This is revelation. And when the penny drops, and when you begin to realize that you are not on the outside looking in and hoping God hears you, but you are on the inside looking out, and you're no longer self-conscious, but now you are God-conscious. You carry God. He carries you. You walk in him, and he walks in you. And wherever you go, he goes. And the kingdom of God is all around, and the kingdom of God is within, and the kingdom of God is without. And you now are what you're supposed to be, a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And what is impossible with man now is very possible with God. But the penny's got to drop. The penny's got to drop. And you got to realize, I've got to walk in this life every moment, God conscious. I'm in him. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Can I have that scripture up in Colossians? We'll move on to the third one. You doing all right with me? Yes. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations. You see, the Old Testament is explained in the New, and the New Testament was concealed in the Old. Are you with me? They segue. They are one in the same. The Old Testament prophecies prophesied of the coming Messiah. They foretold from Genesis all the way through Malachi of who he was going to be. And they had mysteries and clues all through it. Everything says something. The law said something. The tabernacle said something. Every very thing said something about who he was coming. And when he came, his generation missed the day of his visitation. And church, may we not miss the day of the Holy Spirit's visitation in this hour, because there are signs everywhere and the kingdom is everywhere. And God wants us to understand that we're not on the outside looking in, but we are on the inside looking out through the eyes of the Almighty Spirit of the living God. And he wants to do his work through the church. We are not separated. We are his body. He's the head, we're the body. We are fused together with him. So number one, when trouble comes, God says, yeah, you're gonna have it, but guess what? Cheer up, take heart, be courageous. Why? Because I have the keys of death and hell. There's no devil in hell or one loose on the earth that has any authority over you. You don't have to be afraid of darkness. You don't have to be afraid of demons. You don't have to be afraid of hell. There's nothing to fear but God himself, because he's the only one that can throw your soul into the very regions of hell. Jesus said, fear God. Cheer up, because my king, whom I'm in and he's in me, has the keys of death and hell, and he's made me a king and a priest unto him. Number two, he says, believe. Believe what? Believe that you're not alone. Believe that you're not separated. Believe that you're loved beyond measure. Believe that you can begin to expect and believe and dream and ask and pray. Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I'll give it to you. Are we asking? What are you believing for? What are you praying for? Are you afraid to ask because, oh God, how would God ever want me to have that? How do you know he doesn't? It's his will for you to be blessed. It's not his will for us to be selfish and foolish, but it's will for us to prosper so that we can help others. How can a broke person help anybody? How about prosperity? How about a good, healthy marriage when you don't like each other? God can renew a love. You do your commandments, he does his. Act like you love each other, because faith without works is dead. So when you begin to believe, that means you start acting like what God said is true. How about that? Acting like I'm full of God today. Acting like I'm conscious, not of my own self, but I'm conscious that the God of the universe indwells me and lives within me. God consciousness. Cheer up. Believe. When adversity comes, this is how to be unstoppable, because your God's unstoppable. Number three, the last one. You ready? You've been pretty good. If I've been yelling at you and spitting on you, I'm sorry. Number one, cheer up. Trouble's coming, but he's overcome. Number two, believe. You're not alone. He's in you and you're in him. And number three, remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He didn't leave us without power. In the kingdom, there's this thing called grace. Grace, that's how we got saved. For we are saved by grace through faith, and not of ourselves, lest any man should boast, right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. So we're saved by grace. Grace is God's, my husband's definition, God's sovereign, divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. Pastor Jim's definition of grace. It's a great definition. My definition of grace, Debbie Cobray's definition, God's power in me to do what his truth demands of me. That when God demands something of me in the word, then I'm to come under submission to the word of God. I'm to bow my knee and my heart and my life to it. That he gives me the power to do it. For he's at work both to will and to do his good pleasure in me. Philippians chapter 2. So I can work out my salvation. I don't do this on my own. I do this with the power of God. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's with me all the time. And if I pitch a fit and I don't want to submit and I don't want to do what his word says to do, I don't want to turn my cheek. I don't want to pray for my enemy. I don't want to love my husband when he's being a bozo. I don't want to love my kids when I want to deck them upside the head. I don't want to go to church when I don't feel like it. I don't want to. Anybody ever been there? It's called I. It's called self. self-consciousness. But you see, when I bow my knee and I come under the authority of the Word, now it's God consciousness. And God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right, you know that word. It's familiar, Philippians 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Paul had a lot of trouble, so much that he asked the Lord 3 times to remove a messenger of Satan. Messenger is the word angelos, which means an angelic, demonic being that harassed him. God said, my grace is sufficient, for when you're weakest, then my grace is strongest in you. Remember that little verse? I know how to be abased. That means humiliated, to look like a fool, to have nothing, to be broke. And I know how to abound. That means to be riding high. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned. It's a learning process. It's a journey. Both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If the World War II generation can be a tough generation, a hero generation, what do you want to call this generation? What do you want to be known in? What's the legacy you want to leave? What do you want to leave to your kids and to the city? What do we want to leave behind us? How do you want to be remembered? As weak, complaining, fighting for causes that are foolish? Foolish. Foolish. I'm not saying that sexual slavery is foolish. And I'm not saying that racial injustice isn't real. But those are simply diversions. They're here on the earth, and when people's hearts change, these things change. But you cannot legislate morality in a fallen heart. People can say what they want to you with lip service, but until the heart changes, nothing changes. Nothing. I read, these last 2 years, 9 books on the Civil War. It fascinated me. And I found in these stories some of the greatest testimonies of Christians that I've ever met in my life, and they were slaves. They were slaves that endured such horrific things that sometimes I had to put the books down because it was too hard to hear, like the Holocaust. And yet their faith and their love, they turned the cheek. They prayed for their enemies. They believed God. You see, that's the spirit that needs to come into this church and into this nation. Yes, there's injustice. Yes, there's wrongdoing. But until you and I begin to light the light, begin to live the life, begin to pray for our enemies, begin to bless those that persecute us, begin not to march against, but to march with the Spirit of God and believe God for a revival and believe God for souls and believe God that the very enemy of my enemy is not past redemption and salvation. And can I light a light, God, in my own life? Bishop Ridley, when they lit him on fire in the flames of martyrdom in England because he was preaching the gospel, he said to his friends, let me light this life up in my last breath. Let us light such a flame that it will never be forgotten in England. You see, that's the legacy this church needs to leave. I want to leave before I leave the earth. It's not a spoiled, pampered life, but a life that is not afraid to have adversity come my way. A life that's not afraid of trouble. A life that's not afraid of people that don't like me or things that aren't fair, because I know the one that is absolutely just. Absolutely just. He's got it all written down and he'll straighten it all out. And even when life is cruel and life is wrong, guess what? My God is righteous and my God is just, and he will not forsake me or leave me alone. My closing, I want you to watch a video. You can do all things. Number one, cheer up. take courage and take heart. Yeah, trouble's here. So what else is new? It's etching with the scalpel of the Spirit of God, the character and the nature of your King on the inside of you, because God believes in you and you're gonna pass these tests. You're gonna come through shining brighter than the sun. That adversity is a setup. It's not gonna put you back, it's gonna put you forward. Number two, believe what? That you're loved and that you're not alone, that you're not on the outside looking in, but you're on the inside, God conscious, constantly, continually. We ask for his presence. His presence is with us all the time. It's always here. You just have to tap into it. The Holy Spirit never leaves you or forsakes you. And number three, you can do all things through Christ. All I have to do is change my attitude. Don't be angry for what you can't change, but be grateful for what you have. Paul said, my closing scripture, and then I'm going to show you this video, we're going to close. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, New Living Testament version. Paul went through so much. God showed him he was going to have chains and persecution. He laid his head down to a Roman sword. And this is what he writes. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small. They won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that can't be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. Watch this video. A picture paints a thousand words. This is a story of Nick, who was born without hands and legs. Last point. You can do this.
Born in Australia without arms or legs, 30-year-old Nick Vujicic has become a symbol of triumph against all odds. His inspiring YouTube videos have been watched over 100 million times.
It's a lie to think that you're not good enough. It's a lie to think that you're not worth anything.
But the road to self-acceptance was excruciating for Nick. For years, he was harassed and tormented at school. When he was 10, Nick attempted suicide. After years of feeling worthless and alone, Nick's awakening came while reading an article about a disabled man who refused to let physical limitations hold him back. In that moment, Nick says he discovered the power to take control of his life, and he has. Today, Nick surfs, he snorkels, he golfs, and plays soccer. He's traveled to 44 countries with his message of hope.
Even the worst part of your life can come together for the good.
And less than a year ago, Nick married the love of his life and danced at their wedding.
Nick's in our audience tonight. Say hello to Nick. We're standing up for Nick. Now, this is what's so unbelievable. As you've heard, people complain about the spots on their face and people complain about not having a boyfriend and not being able to have the mates of their life. What happened to you that you were able to take all of your chemistry, being born with no arms and no legs, take your connections, your relationships, your life circumstances, mm-hmm. your state of consciousness, and then choose, make the conscious choice that you were going to take all of that, which the rest of the world looks at, you know, undeniably as a pretty bad hand, and that you were going to turn it into something, you were going to be exalted by it. What happened to you that you were able to do that?
Oprah, I know that you love to think out of the box and have things outside of the box in your show. Yeah. And I know that you love illustration. So if I may illustrate in about 180 seconds, can I do something a little crazy, but it'll be powerful?
Go
Is that
right
cool?
Ahead.
You got a camera behind me, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna show you. Come. This step right here. Is there enough light here?
Okay.
The chemistry. I was born without arms and legs. The chemistry I could not change in my life. I know that God didn't give me this pain, but what the enemy tried to use for bad, he turned into good.
Yeah.
Man, the connections. I want to tell Porsche. Look, I'm a guy, I love cars, okay? And I love Porsches more than Ferraris, okay? and I want everyone to know that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. Yeah. And until you can actually understand that we are all wonderfully and fearfully made from God, I want you to know that you will always be trapped and chained and you will be stopped. But when you have the incredible power of faith in action, nothing holds you back. And you're beautiful just the way that you are. No worries. For me, I felt the connection. Yeah. For me in my life, I'm thinking, man, I'm not gonna get married. I can't even hold my wife's hand. What connection am I gonna have? But you know what? All things come together for the good for those who love Him. Man, this is a little bit high. I'm gonna break my arm, man. This is pretty crazy. All right.
I'm gonna break my arm.
Circumstances. Being born without arms and legs, man, it's all about choice. You asked me what it was. I had parents who were my heroes. They always said, you can either be angry for what you don't have or be thankful for what you do have. Yeah. Do your best and God will do the rest. And then consciousness. Because I gave my life to Lord Jesus Christ,
hallelujah,
and the renewing of my mind,
hallelujah,
wow, I knew that I could be unstoppable.
Stand to your feet. Let's give God praise. He's unstoppable and we are unstoppable. What's coming against you? What is it that Satan wants to steal from you? Draw a line in the sand and say no more. Your God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that you could hope or all that you could ask or think. Cheer up. Take courage. Take heart. He is overcome. He is overcoming, and He always will overcome every situation that life will hand you. Believe. Grab a hold of that grace through faith. Grace is coming at you, but it's faith that reaches out and gets it. Come on, somebody. Start believing God again. Start reaching your hands up and your hearts up and say, God, today is a good day. Today, you are the God of the impossible. Today, everything could change. Today, Lord, I'm not alone and I'm not unloved because you loved me so much you couldn't live without me. And I'm in you and you're in me. Number three. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Don't concentrate on what you don't have. Be grateful for what you do. What did he say? Nick said, do your best and God will do the rest. Did you get something out of tonight? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.